She's just brilliant. And you know, could you turn to your neighbor left and right and say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning. You know, it's always great to be found in the house of God. What about when we think about the word serve? What is serve not about? And what is serving all about? Today, we are going to dive into this series break, where we are taking a break between two series. And we're going to zoom into this thing about volunteering, this thing about serving in a church. And I find that it's so important to clarify that two statements, because if we don't clarify it, what happens is, sometimes we do the things that serving is not actually about, and we miss the things that serving is actually about. And I feel that when we do that, we get serving all wrong. So today, we're going to dive into a letter that Paul wrote for Titus. And we're going to try to unpack and understand serving through this lens. And I really like in this verse, these two words that Paul uses. He uses the word, must learn. Man, I dare say, all of us must learn what it truly means to serve. So I'm going to read the text for all of us, and you can pay attention. I know every week we're asking you all to stand. Today you get to sit, okay? I'm going to read it for us, and then I'm going to pray. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Could I invite all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes, as I start us off with a word of prayer. God, we know that serving is a godly thing. But we also know that culture, the environment that we grew up in, sometimes have taken this word and given it another meaning. Today, Holy Spirit, help us to have the right lens when it comes to serving. Help us to understand your word. Soften our hearts. Ready our spirits. Come and do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. This we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Now, when we look at this verse, just reading this verse, what does he say after that? Must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. Church, if I could propose to all of us this morning, the first thing we want to learn about serving is that serving, are you ready? It's not about running a service. It's about doing what is good. It's not about running a program, but it's about doing what is good. Now, it's a service that we run, doing what is good in every nation. Is it good? When I think about that, I think about that time when I heard about this person who was so ministered during worship session when the song Good Good Father came on. Drawn to the heart of the Father. When I think about the life groups that we have, I think about the members in our church that would come and say, I am so blessed by my life group leader who would go the extra mile to reach out and to care for me. I think about the ministries that we have, the kids ministry, the teens ministry, the parents that come and say, my kid has been so transformed by what y'all do in the kids and teens ministry. I think about other initiatives like the mental health initiative in Erin, the different people that were blessed. I think about the 7979 initiative that helps the underprivileged kids in education. I think about all of those, and I would dare say that Erin Nation does do good. In fact, at this point, since it's volunteer weekend, I just want to take this time to honor all of you who are serving in your respective ministries. Thank you for doing what is good, being a blessing, not just to this church, but to the community beyond. Could we just give a round of applause all across the room to all those that volunteer week in, week out? But do you see the danger? The danger of sometimes being so caught up in running a good service that does not actually do any good. The lights and the worship and all the different things can be so high quality, yet it does no good and instead creates so much stress, creates so much pressure, creates so much anxiety. Can you imagine that happening? That is why it is very important to clarify what serving is not about and what it is about. And once you think about doing good, some of you might say, but wow, if it's about doing good, I don't know if I'm skilled enough. I think I'm past my prime. I don't have the energy. I'm not as young as I used to be. What if I'm not good enough to offer anything good? Now, you might find in a chapter prior to that, Paul wrote to Titus and he says to Titus, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And then he goes to the older man. He says, teach the older man to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Then he says, teach the older woman. And he says, urge the younger woman. My point is this. Every single one of us can do good. No matter your age, no matter your status, your skill, your gender, all of us can do good. The older man can do good by setting an example for the young men in faith. Because guess what? The young people like us, we look to you. We do look to you, for example, as our role models. The older woman can teach what is good. The younger woman can show that the word of God can be trusted. All of us can do good. And it's not just within the four walls of the church. You find that later on, he addresses a young man. But in verse 9, he says, teach slaves. I know the moment we say slaves, sometimes that is a very triggering word because slavery is terrible, full stop. But to really understand what this slave here means, the parallel is not the slavery we see today. It really means employees. As an employee, be subjected to your employers in everything. To try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. You'll find that all of us can do good, can serve, be it within the four walls of the church or outside the four walls of the church. All of us can serve and do good. Now, what else does Paul say? He says, in order to provide for urgent needs. The second thing that I want to say about serving, and this might prick some of you, serving is not about fulfilling your passions, but it's about providing for urgent needs. I still recall that one time when this person was so passionate to sing on stage and only wanted to serve if it was a vocal position in the worship team, when the worship team at that time had enough vocalists. And this person refused to serve in anything else but her passion, when there are so many other needs out there. Church, let's not be like that. Let's not. Instead, let us open our eyes and see all the needs around us. And once you do that, the first thing you realize, number one, needs are often endless. All kinds of needs. Today, if you see the screen here, it's blank. Because something is spoiled and all that. Guess what? We will need people who are skilled in that to help us out. Needs are everywhere. And the second thing you'll find is that needs sometimes come suddenly and therefore urgently, urgent needs. One of the contexts for the verse that we read was that Paul was telling Titus that Zenas and Apollos, two other believers and ministers, were on their way to where Titus was, and they would have needs that the church needed to help and aid. And when it came to looking at needs, approaching needs, what does Paul tell Titus to do? Do everything you can. Everything. Can I invite all of us to say everything? Do everything. You may not like to shake people's hand as they walk in through the glass door, but I bet you can smile to people as they walk in through the glass door. You may not like to be talking to people, especially during 3, 2, 1, that's toilet time for you. Some of you are so glad that Shirley said, oh, today no 3-2-1. Oh, no need to go toilet, okay? You may not like to talk to people, but I bet you can serve someone coffee at Connect Corner. All of us can do something. And the truth is, when it comes to serving, you may not do everything that you like, but church, let us do everything that we can. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Now, what else does Paul say? He says, and not live unproductive lives. The third thing about serving that I really wanted to clarify is this. Serving is not about running till you burn out. It's not. But it's about living productive, fruitful lives in response to the faith that you have in Christ. It's about being fruitful, not burning out. We don't want any of you to burn out. We don't. I don't want to burn out. Now, how do I make sense of this? You'll find that when Paul was writing to Titus, one of the overarching things he was trying to address was contrasting these two different groups of people. The first group was this rebellious people. They were deceiving people. They were causing disruption to households. They were causing division, discord, all for dishonest gain. They were just thinking about themselves. Might I dare say, if we are not building with the church, we might just be commenting about the church. And we are living in a highly commentative culture. We are. Think about Instagram. Think about Facebook. Everybody comments. And even if you don't type it on the post, I bet you just by looking at a video, you have a comment in your head. And some of you would know that the moment we start operating from that place, this commenting about everything place, commenting has a way to lead us to complaining. And the moment everybody just starts complaining, then we don't have a church. At most, we have a very nice cinema where you are consuming, but it's not a church. What is this second group of people that Paul was trying to contrast? It was in a verse that we read. Our people. This is the second group. You got the dishonest people, the rebellious people, and then you've got our people. What's our people like? You'll find in the few verses before Paul wrote this, he almost repeats the same sentence structure, this whole idea about devoting themselves to what is good. But instead of our people, he describes this our people. He says, those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Who is this our people? Those who trust in God. They trust in God to provide for all that they need, and therefore they are able to freely give. It does not mean they don't know how to say no. In fact, I bet these people, they know how to say no because they know that they are not serving out of fear of people or to please people, so they are not afraid to say no. But they are also not afraid to say yes to serving because they know it's Abba Father who supplies them with grace to do the task at hand. They are like that branch connected to the vine that bears good fruit. Like that tree planted by streams of water whose leaves do not wither. These are people who trust and rely in God, and therefore they do not burn out because God is the one who supplies them with this grace every single day. And now you'll find that serving is not about if I can. It's about by faith I will. Not if I can do this, if I've got enough time, if I'm in the right season, but by faith I will. Because God, you are the one who will supply me with all that I need to be a blessing, to do good to others. How will this word really take root in us? It goes back to the analogy that I shared at the start. Slay, drip, eight. It means a certain thing to maybe the older generation. And it will only mean a compliment if you move yourself from being this group of people to this category of people. And in the same way, serving will only transform its meaning, its significance for you if all of us learn to take steps out of the old way of thinking into being these new people of God. And I'm glad that even as I say this, that we are not doing this just by our own strength, but we have a forerunner ahead of us, Jesus Christ himself. Does not scripture tell us, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve? He was someone who relied on the grace of the Father given to him and was willing to serve and do good out of love all the way to what point? All of you would know this, to the cross. Grace by the strength of the Father for him. And therefore, we as God's people, followers of Christ, let us follow the example set before us by the one who bore the cross for us. Church, if I could invite all of us, we as a people must learn to devote ourselves to doing what is good. To really doing what is good. So, today, I told you I'm going to do three things. The first thing is done, second thing is done. But now you're in for a big treat. Because we are going to learn from some of these people who have shown themselves to really trust God in their serving, in their journey. So you're not just going to hear from me, but instead you're going to hear from David, from Carmen, and from Josephine. Could I invite them up on stage right now? All right? Could y'all give a hand to them? And later I'll introduce them in detail. But I find that sometimes the best way to stir our spirits up is not just to hear the word, but also the people of God who lived by the word. So this is going to be exciting for all of us. I'm going to take a seat here. Okay, so let me introduce to you who we have up here. And see, some of you, you might be very familiar with them. Some of you might not. So to my far left, okay, which is your far right, is Josephine. Josephine has been with Every Nation for more than 10 years. She's the mother of two, used to be in the finance and banking industry, and she has been faithfully serving in the kids' church. So that's Josephine. And then you have Carmen, who also started serving in the kids' church, right? If my understanding is correct, she works as a chartered accountant and has been serving as a life group leader for 2 years now, maybe even stepping up as a coach. And right next to me is David. And David used to be a private school tutor and then later on opened his bakery business. He has been with Every Nation serving in a Connect Corner. So sometimes you might see him outside. But more importantly, he has been serving in the food ministry for more than 20 years. So these are three people with a wealth of experience. And if I could once again invite everybody, could you give a round of applause just to honor them for what they do in their serving? So, I've told them to prepare answers to two questions. Just two today. And then after that, of course, after service, you can ask them more if you want to. But the first question, and we're going to start with David, is this. How did y'all go from just a believer to someone who is actively serving, who is involved in ministry? How do you go from just a believer to that? So David, you have the mic with you. Why not you can share with us how that journey started for you?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much for the brethren. I've been serving the food ministry over 22 years. I couldn't imagine I can do that. And I find that in our church in Kota Bharu, the First Assembly of God, and there is a need for the student to come to Kota Bharu to study at USM. These students are very brilliant students. They have to at least have 4 A's, at least. And even that is not assured of their place in USM. It's a government hospital, medical student. And they came, and they have no choice, because that is the only choice they have. Because of, you know, medicine is not an easy or cheap course to attend. So we find that they have a need there. And that need is that they are under tremendous stress of studying. And surprisingly, they come to the church. And to cut the story short, we learn that they need to have a food ministry. And that's where we step in. My wife and myself, we do it out of love for Christ. So what we learn here is that when we interview some of these students, especially the lady student, when you first heard about being posted in Kelantan, what is your first reaction? Without fail, all these lady will say, "I cried." I said, "You know, Kelantan is such a backward state," sad to say that. It's not that backward in that sense, but it is really a place where it's so difficult to practice what you believe. You cannot simply proselyte to other Muslim people. So because of that, we supply that food, the food that they really enjoy, like pao and something like sandwiches. And we are so glad that we fulfill that need. And we do it out of love, not by our strength, but by the Spirit that lead us and give us that extra strength to do the work. So another thing that we learn also, we learn to be Cupid for them, because some of these ladies and men, bachelors, they come, they expect something from to have that kind of relationship, boys and girls, you know, the dating situation. And we learn to have that kind of Cupid situation that we invite them to our house. And to cut the long story short, we managed to unite them, one of them, and they stay back. They stay back to populate. Hopefully, they bring about the changes in the demographic of the church. And I really thank God that over the 22 years that we have been serving with the food ministry, and it is a joy for us to see them enjoy the food, the home-cooked food, especially when they are under stress. And that is the needs that we find it. And I thank God for that. Without the Holy Spirit, I think we cannot do it. Can you imagine that over the 22 years of serving and helping them, inviting them to the house, sharing the food, hear their story, hear their pain, their suffering? This is part of our ministry that we supply that need. And we thank God that we are able to do it with love, with agape love that is so hard to describe. But in reality, we come to that conclusion. The body of Christ is so important. That's why we feel the pastors and us, we are the food, the physical food. But our pastor is more of a spiritual food. And I truly salute Pastor Tim. That Pastor Tim is such a wonderful person. He helped us a lot, especially our children, our grandchildren. And they have a special need. And Pastor Tim is such a wonderful person. I cannot help but to shed tears whenever I remember him. And he's such a love for the people. This is what we wanted during our journey in life. Our life here is so brief. How brief we can be, you know. In a short time, we are just what is our age. And it really touched my heart to think about Pastor Tim, the legacy, glorify God and make disciples. And this is what we are there to do.
Thank you. Could we just give David a hand? I think just gleaning from his journey of serving, sometimes it really starts by opening our eyes to see a need. Some have asked, oh, Jason, I want to serve, but I don't know how to serve, I don't know where to start. Start by looking around. Really, it starts by looking around. You saw students who came and you wanted to create almost like a home away for home for them, and food, something as simple and basic as food, yet you were a blessing to them. And when I hear, I also think, should we start a Cupid ministry? I think that's a joke, okay? That's like a big need, okay. Anyway, what about you, Carmen?
I remember when I decided to start serving in church after I got saved like 6 months. It's really because of a verse in the Bible that really convicted me. It's from the Gospel book, Luke chapter 4, verse 39, when Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. And the verse is just a short sentence. After the mother-in-law got healed, he actually immediately rose and began to serve them. This verse is just like a just a short sentence, but it's so powerful, and it really spoke to me to serve Jesus and his church. Yeah.
And thereafter, what was the ministry that you immediately jumped into?
At first, actually, I was in Asher ministry, and then there's a Sunday service one day. They announced again, there's this like, wow, kind of serve with WOW volunteers. And then I saw there's a need in Kids Church. Then I jumped to Kids Church. And that time, actually, I was thinking like, I'm so new. I don't know the Bible, but you know what? Maybe I can just learn together with the kids the easier way. Yeah.
So if my sermon is too difficult, we've got a kids ministry, okay? That's a joke. But I think learning and gleaning from Carmen's story, some of us, our journey into serving could also be the Word of God really, really piercing into your heart, convicting you and saying, I got to respond and live up my faith practically. And it can be anything. It could be Asher, it could be kids. But what I really glean from Carmen's story is sometimes our journey to serving starts as a obedient response in our faith journey. What about yourself, Josephine?
Okay, so I started serving in a church in the children ministry. And this was maybe 1 or 2 years before the COVID pandemic. So it's been about 6 years now. So during this past 6 years, you know, it's one of my lowest points in my life. It's when I first became a single mother of two. And my father was very ill, and soon after he passed away and left with my widowed mother. And then all this time, I was still managing a full-time work. So the decision to serve in the church was not an overnight decision for me. It started out when I first brought my 4 or 5 years old then youngest daughter to the kids' class. And she would insist that I would stay with her in class to accompany her. And so I did. I did this for many weeks, and then I observed and I realized, you know, that, you know, during these classes, it's really quite short-handed when it comes to teachers. And sometimes, you know, I would see like a single teacher having to manage the class, and it gets so hectic and busy. And then I would just, you know, help out, you know, here and there, and help out the children. And so this went on, and then very soon, teacher Jamie, who was leading the junior kids then, took notice, and she started asking me, would you like to help out, you know, be a teacher, you know, assistant teacher? I hesitated. I mean, it is a commitment. And I know that if, at that time, humbly speaking, I have no teaching experience. But then God somehow put in my heart, because I want to help out, you know, the heart to put a help out, because I saw that there were insufficient, you know, insufficient teachers. They need help. And then also God also put that joy in my heart, because I realized that when I was spending time, you know, with the kids, I did feel happy. And it's very strange, because when I say happy, I mean that mentally I was like de-stressing. Mentally I was having a relief. And I guess for me it was a relief, because I had many serious matters in my head, many different challenges I was facing. So that kind of made me feel like, yeah, maybe I should say yes. But what I want to share is what made me continue to serve despite the different challenges, you know, throughout those years. You know, I realized when I look back, you know, as I faced these challenges, you know, I would have crying to God, you know, seeking Him. I depended on Him a lot, and I rely on Him. And during those periods, Jesus has not failed. He has been faithful. He has shown me in so many ways about His love to me. And that kind of faithfulness, you know, it kind of cemented, you know, that confidence I have in Jesus, you know, His love for me, you know, that He is my true love. And when I have that, you know, like, when I'm in love, you know, like, I just feel like I want to express that love in return to Him. You know, so it's so natural, you know. For me personally, one way as my response and act of love for Him was serving. You know, and that was what I did, right? And that continues to spur me, you know, to continue to serve. And the other thing is that I also feel why, you know, it encourages me to continue is when I look, you know, at how, you know, I could contribute, you know, I feel like I'm doing something rewarding. I'm doing a little part of God's grand plan, you know, of human salvation. You know, like, oh, I can do this little, planting seeds in the hearts of little children about the truth of God, that love of Jesus that I come to know. It's not just about what we read, but I've come to experience Jesus' love for me for real, you know, and I can just show them, you know, show the little kids that it's real, you know, and Jesus is there. And that kind of opportunity is, to me, you know, like a privilege, you know, to be able to pray for the children that this seed will grow and they will grow in Christ, you know, as they grow up. And also, on a lighter note, I know when I teach the 6-year-old children, the other thing that motivates me was that, you know, they are really cute. You know, they when I tell them Bible stories, they would ask me funny questions and very curious questions. Sometimes it makes me laugh. And sometimes it makes me like, oh dear, how to answer this question. And so it brings me then, you know, like, oh, I need to learn God's words. I need to study His words. And that brings me to, you know, going for night Bible classes and all that. You know, I want to learn God's words so I can explain, so that I can get them to not only understand God, but to know, you know, more about Him truthfully. You know, so that, you know, in summary, I just, what I've learned from all of this is that, you know, for me, it could be just a small step of saying yes to serve, but God just did the rest, you know. He somehow provided me the time. He somehow provided me that energy, you know. And more importantly, He also gave me the joy, because that is the joy that keeps me going and continue to serve.
Yeah. Wow. Could we just give the three of them another round of applause? You know, if there's anything that I glean from Josephine sharing, is that sometimes the reality is our journey of serving starts from a very broken place. Like she mentioned, at the time, she just became a single mom, dad was ill, a broken place, but somehow in serving, God was able to grace her to experience His love, to experience purpose, and sometimes in our own journey of serving, God does that too. So, three different journeys, and we are going to now, the second question I asked them, is could you now zoom in? So you gave us a grand overarching. Now zoom in to a specific story in your whole journey of serving. Could you give us a glimpse of what it's like? Like, who are some of the people that you came across, a specific story? So time is short. We've got 10 minutes. So in 10 minutes, three stories, okay? One from each of you. David, why not we start from you?
For me, as I move with the Holy Spirit, we always have an ear to see how to make the gospel as attractive as it is. And I find that every one of us need Jesus Christ. We are created to have that kind of relationship with Christ. There's no other ways. We can find many ways. Some of us may have pursue money, pursue everything, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But at the end of the journey, you begin to find that without Christ, life is meaningless, because there is no eternal life. The eternal life is only with Christ. So as I journey in this life, I saw a couple. And this couple, his name is Nathan. He's an Indian descent, a very handsome guy, and Ahun. And we saw them walking. Little do I know, during their younger days, we know them. And they are very proud and very arrogant and full of themselves. But as a later stage of life, they begin to understand life has really, without Christ, has no meaning. That's where we step in. That's where we share the gospel with them. And with this sharing of the gospel, little do we know that this Nathan have a stroke and twice been stroke ridden, and he walked with a limp. And such a big man, and we befriended them with using the food ministry, and as well as Ahun. They are really staunch Buddhists in their sense, and they have no children, and they adopted one son. And out of this encounter, we share with them. And little do we know, later on, another was stricken down with cancer. And with this cancer, he's taking his toll, and the family suffers so much. My heart goes out to Ahun, because the adopted son is such a difficult child to rear up. I don't want to say anything, but what really hurts me, and my heart goes out to this Ahun, is that she's the own sole bread earner. And out of that, he's had to burden with these three person, you know, these two person. And there's one, another sister is also mentally not stable. So another is just looking and taking three of them under her wing with her meager earning. But nevertheless, when we share this gospel through the food ministry, we're able to share with them the goodness of Christ. And we ask him all the time, Nathan, when you are stricken down to the last, for the last moment when you're about to go to the other side, to pass over the other side. And we tell them, we tell Nathan specifically, to call on Jesus. A simple message, just call on him. Because when we remember Psalm 50:15, we say that when we are in trouble, we call on the name. The only name that brings glory and help to us is the name of Jesus Christ. And when he was about to go to the other side, pass over the other side to the Lord. And surprisingly, both of them baptized, which is out of my scope, to say the least. And when he was about to pass over the other side, he called on Jesus. And his death is so serene and so peaceful and so contented. When I hear it from Ahun, because I was shuttling between KB and Selangor, and I get this news, it really warms my heart to know what we have put in, that Christ already put in our heart, to share this gospel. And this applies to each and every one of us, to share that gospel to each and every one of us who come into contact with us, because this is the only hope that we have. And the icing of the cake is that this son, so-called a youth, not a very good term to use, this adopted son is such a difficult person to do. At one stage, I thought that he was a pusher and he take drugs and things like that. And what I heard the latest is that he baptized, and I give all glory to the Lord, and he bring to the Lord.
You know, if there's anything we can glean is that when it comes to serving, we are serving real people with real needs. We really are. People with food needs, physical needs, and all that. And I think that's something that all of us want to remember, even as we serve, even as we preach the gospel. Thank you, David, for that story. Carmen, what about you?
I recall a while back that I knew someone that is having a very difficult situation, even to the point of engaging self-harm behaviors. And when I got to know her, that was one of the darkest time in her life. And there was no one physically or mentally supporting her. It was really tough for her. So when she opened up to me, the sense of worthlessness just all around her mind, just like flooded all around her mind. And I felt really led to serve her that time, to be there for her, to listen to her, to pray for her, and also offer my house as a safe space when needed. And I remember her saying this, I felt I'm no one, but you make me feel that I matter. And deeply I know that it's not me. It is God that wants to reach out to her. God just using me. So I share, introduce her to Jesus. We prayed the salvation prayer together. I gave her Bible and prayed for her, and hoping that God will grace her through, or she will grow closer to God every day as she navigates through this tough time. Yeah.
Thank you, Carmen. Could we also give a hand to... And I think here to all the, especially the life group leaders, the core and all that in our midst, don't underestimate just how your presence in someone else's life can be. Because like Carmen said, by the grace of God, in your partnership with the Holy Spirit, you could actually be used by God to save lives. So remember that we are partnering with God, even as we serve. Josephine, last story.
Yeah, so I want to share this. This is something that happened during COVID pandemic, and the church had locked down, and the kids ministry as well. And so they have came up with, a service online, and then we have video lessons, and we have also Zoom hangout sessions, and all of these are just to help the kids continue to get connected to the kids' church. And so one of the children that I keep quite close contact was a four-year-old child. And we also have this, roll out this thing of, having a group WhatsApp chats, with the child's parent, so that we can communicate about the child. And so I've been communicating with this child's mother, and so during those Zoom sessions, I noticed that the child it kind of like always missing from the screen and not really participating. And so I would communicate with the mother, and I would check with her to see if there is any way that I could help this child to to participate more, just to see where I can do differently. And then she would openly share with me, that the child is active, playful, and she would also share with me when I ask her about the favorite things, what are the things that the child enjoys or likes. And I'm very glad because this open sharing really helped me, to help the child. And so that she also shared about, like I asked, what's the favorite toy? And I took the opportunity to use favorite toys, to get his attention. And then, he would enjoy it. And, the mother would share, oh yes, he enjoyed the sharing of his favorite toy. And now the child's excited of the next session. When I see the child missing in class, I would check with the mother, why, just to see if anything is going on. And when the mother would share the art, that it's because, it's just playful, I would then, send voice messages, just to share with the child, how I missed, him being not in class, or, and I would share about what's going to happen in the next session, just to get the child excited. And that kind of worked, to get him to join more frequently in the sessions. And I'm glad, because then that means he would have heard God's words more. And I think that is important to me. And what I want to share also is that, after all these that happened, I'm glad to see that he continues to come to church, and that, he joins the classes. And so, yeah. I'm happy to see that.
One last round of applause for Josephine. When we serve in the teens ministry, we still hear stories of the kids telling us how some of their best memories were really from kids ministry because of what you do as teachers. And when you look at the three stories, you'll find that sometimes serving a need, doing good, could be helping someone who is terminally ill, helping someone who could be going through mental health situations, or it could be helping a playful child. It could be, but the reality is all of them, in the hands of a sovereign, good, loving God, did much good. And I want to encourage all of us also, think this way. You don't need some grand story, some big major problem. Start by looking at a simple need around of us, and we can do some good. Now, I hope that you're inspired by the story, and you might be wondering, so what do I do? How do I start? I know why I need to serve. I'm inspired. I'm ready. What next to do? You'll find that if I could have my last slide up on screen again, in the verse that we read, it talks about how our people must learn to devote themselves. The New American Standard Bible Version writes this, learn to engage. Say engage. I think that's what we need to do. We need to learn to engage. So even as I close this with prayer, after me, Pastor Stephen is going to come up. He's going to detail it out for all of us, how we can engage in the different things that we are doing as a church to serve. But before that, could I once again invite all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes, as I close this with prayer. God, we thank you. And I really hope that from hearing your word, hearing the different stories, each and every one of us now, we are inspired, convicted to serve in the right way, to do good, not out of dishonest gain, not to burn out, but out of faith, knowing that you will supply us with the grace to do the task at hand. Because there are real needy people out there that need the love of God, that need our love as well. So use us, oh God, this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen, amen, amen.